From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. We're halfway into 2012, a good time to catch our breath and survey the musical landscape before that next deluge of great new music comes our way. Joining me to look and listen to our favorites of the year so far is Ann Powers, Stephen Thompson, and Robin Hilton. Hello, everybody.
How you doing, Bob?
Hello.
Good.
Bob.
Let's start the show with our pick for favorite new artist. Two of us picked this one. What's playing now is Kishibashi. Everybody together.
I defy anyone to listen to this song and not feel wonderful about life.
Well, I think this
I feel wonderful.
I think this is the, in 6 months' time, this will be like Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
Oh, don't say that. I mean, I like that's
where
fine,
you will have heard it like 700 million billion times.
Which commercials are going to be on?
It's, yeah, I mean, it can't Amazon, Kindle, Volkswagen, just right down the line. You're going to want to buy cute, shiny things when every time you hear this this song.
But
it's not... Go ahead. It's not just commercial, though, right? I mean, it's a joyful message. It's something that we could use to hear right now,
it's not a criticism. Yeah. I love Edward Sharpe and Magnetic Zeros Home. It's an incredibly catchy, loving, kind of sweet, cute song that fits, like, every purpose. Perfect summer song.
He's Kei Ishibashi. He's a Japanese-American violinist and looper. He loops all these layers live. We saw him, Bob, a couple times while we were at South by Southwest, came in and did a Tiny Desk concert. His background is he's played a lot of Montreal and tours with Regina Spektor.
He also does music for commercials.
Yeah, and he does. And he's one of the most memorable live performances, though, that I've seen this year. And I think big things await this kid. I think he's going to have a great year. And I
could
see him.
You gotta go far, kid.
I could see him. You know, he still had his aw gee thanks. When he was playing at South By, he couldn't believe the love that he was getting from people. But I think he's going to go back and headline some major venue.
And eventually reject all the people who praised him on his way up. He's going to be like, Bob who?
We're doing a conversation show sort of about our favorite new artists, favorite new albums, favorite songs, biggest surprises. But Robin Hilton and I both picked Kishibashi. Stephen Thompson, why don't we go to your... favorite new artist.
Yeah, and I might have gone with Kishibashi too. I just knew you suckers would have it would have that locked down. So I went with a trio from Minneapolis, who I also saw at South by Southwest, led by two women with a boy playing drums. They're called Now Now. And now technically they've been around, for a few years. They used to be called Now Now Every Children, but we're fudging the new artist. This was an artist that I first heard in 2012. A record they put out called Threads. It's just wonderfully kind of smart, sparkly pop music. The song we're going to play is called Thread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could listen to this record all day. This is a great car record. You know, it's not reinventing anything necessarily, but the song craft is really there for a very young and even younger looking band.
It definitely grew on me. I mean, I think it's a good record to cook to.
Hmm.
Maybe that's strange to say, but
I'll have to try
some
that. But that would entail
lentils
cooking.
To this. Good for lentils.
It was one of my
good for lentils, says Ann Powers.
Poll quote. They'll put that on the sticker on the CDs. Yeah. This was one of my, on my short list for best new artist too. It reminds me a lot of Wyoke, actually.
A little bit textures. A little bit fizzier than Wyoke, but I do love both bands.
Yep.
Who are you going to take, Ann Powers? Your favorite new artist of the year?
Well, I have to
say, so far, I may add.
Oh, so far, yes. Who knows what will happen in the rest of the year? But I have to give all credit to you, Bob, because I was truly inspired by your attitude toward life and love, and the fact that you talk about, you know, really falling in love with artists a lot. And I have completely fallen in love with this band called Hooray for the Riff Raff. Yeah. And this woman, particularly, named Alinda Lee Segarra. Now, this is a New Orleans-based band. I've been spending some time down in New Orleans, and there's a whole scene there of young kids who hop trains and play old-timey music and, you know, have a lot of tattoos, and they're doing
sniff
that kind
glue.
Of...
Oh,
I don't know. They drink craft beer and make their own cheese. I don't know what they do, but they also make wonderful music. Alinda Lee Segarra and her band, Hooray for the Riff Raff, came out of that scene, but they've been developing over a few years. They've had a few self-released records, but nothing that's made the splash of their new record, Look Out Mama. And I heard this album, someone turned me on to it. They have an Alabama Shakes connection. You guys know I'm obsessed with the Alabama Shakes, so I just had to get them into the conversation. Anyway, Hooray for the Riff Raff, same producer. I can't stop listening to this woman's
Let's
voice.
Hear it.
I'm obsessed.
I'm thinking, Ann, that maybe, just maybe, the record album title, Look Out Mama, is a nod to Powderfinger, Neil Young's Powderfinger.
That's definitely an influence on this band. It's also a nod to her own father. Alinda Lee Segarra ran away from home as a teenager from the Bronx, hopped trains for a while, but she's back in touch with her dad, and his picture is on the cover of the record when he was a young soldier.
The guy holding that rifle? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. So she's such an interesting character. But yes, you're absolutely right. Neil Young, major influence. There's Americana. There's old blues. There's old folk. And her own distinctive vision. I love it.
You know, it's funny. I first heard this band a few years ago when I was doing the Austin 100. They had a song called Bricks that I put on there, and it's just this devastatingly sad, quiet, kind of tinkly, you know, ballad, and, you know, it was really, really devastating. When you said Alabama Shakes, I just couldn't imagine how that band I heard a few years ago would sound like that, but it really does have that connection. I really quite like this.
And it's a different band. She's evolved, and she is playing with different people now. And so it's everything old is new again, and Hooray for the Riff Raff is new again.
I like
embrace them.
Enjoy that.
Let's talk about a couple things that we're doing on the site. First of all, the songs we're playing, you know, a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes of, we're going to put the entire versions on the All Songs Considered website, so that's one. And you may out there be thinking this, you may be thinking,
hey, I have a favorite new artist too.
What just happened?
Those were the listeners.
That's right. I have a favorite new artist. That's how we think of you. And so on the All Songs Considered blog, we'll put up a list of what, Robin? 150, whatever. Just things we've covered, things we think you might vote on. And then you will go and you choose 10 of them or write in your own because it may not be there. And then in a week after that, we'll look at the results and we'll put it up on the All Songs Considered blog and tell you what your favorites are.
The most popular were.
Yeah.
Well, and I will hold each and every listener personally accountable if they do not pick the band that I want to talk about next.
Which is, we're doing Biggest Surprise. Let's move on to that, right?
Biggest Surprise. And this could have pretty much as easily been my album of the year so far. I love this record so much. It's a perfect example of sort of the idea of favorite versus best. It's not necessarily like, you know, made of the most delicately constructed component parts, but it is the awesomest album of 2012 so far. It's by a duo from Vancouver called Japandroids. Two guys, Brian King, David Prowse, they put out a record a few years ago called Post Nothing that I liked. It was kind of the sound of just two guys kind of bashing away and kind of fun, but I found it I just sort of forgot about it. And lo and behold, this record that came out this year called Celebration Rock, which is the most perfectly titled album of the year, came along and completely blew me away. It's got a lot to say about sort of vitality and living life. It's kind of got a lot of that kind of Springsteenian, Gaslight Anthemian, you know, big kind of fist pumping, you know, qualities to it. But it's also got kind of a punk rock vibe to it. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful record. The album is called Celebration Rock. The song is called Fire's Highway. You know, our man Lars Gotrich, the Vikings choice, once said of some other record that it made him want to drive a Camaro down a mountainside or something like that. This record is exactly like that for me.
Excellent.
Now, you said Dave Prowse is in this band?
Yes.
Would that be the same David Prowse who played Darth Vader for many years in the Star Wars trilogy?
You know, I swear to God, I had wondered if there was a relation.
To him?
He's 76 now.
He still shows up. He shows up at
good
conventions.
Guitar player.
Yeah, I had no idea he could rock like that. That was awesome. I love him even more than I did when he was merely Darth Vader.
I feel like this conversation has taken a turn.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been for the best either.
Yeah. Anyway, Japandroids, Fire's Highway from Celebration Rock. It's fantastic. Surprise of the year. So
and
far.
Powers?
Well, my surprise of the year is an artist that I've loved all my life. I don't know. It's the Ladies I Love Hour for Anne. And this is one. Every hour is the Ladies I Love Hour. But this is really one of the artists I treasure the most, but she's definitely had her ups and downs. Sinead O'Connor, we've read about her in the tabloids. She's struggled a lot with personal stuff in the past few years, and yet she made this just unbelievably great album this year. And have you guys had this experience where you're happily surprised by someone you love but don't expect a lot from?
Oh,
that was my.
We just, work with. Look who we work with.
You just defined my marriage.
Oh.
Oh no! Edit that out.
She doesn't listen to the show anyway.
Yeah, I don't even think she knows that I do a show.
So we'll see how you feel, Robin, about your wife and how you guys feel about each other as coworkers. That's how I feel about Sinead O'Connor.
There's so many similarities.
I stick with her. She breaks my heart. She drives me crazy. I can't give her up. And now she's rewarded me with a fantastic record, which I think she did make just for me. You know, she rewarded me with this
record. That's right.
It's called.
It's called This One's for Anne.
It is. It's called How About I Be Me and You Be You. And the track I chose to play is called I Had a Baby, which I think has the perfect Sinead O'Connor magic, which is it's extremely personal. So much so. It's like so specific to her life. And yet it opens up into this amazing universal sentiment. Here we go. I Had a Baby.
You know, hearing that reminds me how disappointing it was that everything sort of hit the skids when Sinead O'Connor canceled her tour, and, you know,
I know.
Really shame.
I know, that's another reason why I wanted to remind people that she made this great record. Let's not forget that in all the gossip and the issues and the stuff we get, you know, too interested in about celebrities. Let's go back to the music and give it the respect it deserves.
I feel the same way you do about her, Anne, and I thought she just really delivered on this record. She's been so hit or miss and sometimes completely absent over the last 15 years or however. You know, you don't expect so much, but then when she came back with this, it knocked me out.
It's a reminder that it's really unwise to give up on people. And you know, to sort of just assume that once an artist kind of strays, that they can't possibly find the magic that they've had before. And you know, she's still a brilliant performer, and she still has a beautiful voice, and she's still wonderfully idiosyncratic and interesting. And this is a very good record.
It is really, though, unusual for an older artist.
She's only in her early 40s. I mean, she's not.
I think of her as an older artist, an established artist. I'll use the word established,
sure,
if that helps. No, I want to use the word older, okay? and I want to use it because I think it is really hard for an artist that has done a number of records,
right,
to make it and saturate a culture of people who are just either coming to music or maybe, you know, only have 5 or 10 years of listening to music, or, you know, somebody who might be 21. And I see it all the time. I see great records being made by people who are 40s, and maybe 50s. 40s you're sensitive to because maybe you're closer to
maybe somebody in this room is turning 40 this year and doesn't think it's that old.
Point being that they don't. And there are great records out there. And I think, I don't know, anybody else?
Yeah, we have a couple on this list, actually. Another on this very list that we're going to hear about by an artist who's also not super old, but definitely making a comeback, and a really stunning comeback, I think, doing exactly what you're talking about.
But it does change the nature of record sales.
Yes.
With age, and I think we could almost make a chart. Anyway, it's just something to think about, and it's a shame that it's true.
I'm assuming, and you're talking about Fiona?
Yeah.
Fiona.
I was talking about
Apple.
Fiona. And you know, and Robin, I just have to tell you that last night I sat up and I thought, I want to change my best song. I want to change my best song to You Can Tell the Title.
Hot Knife.
That's it.
I had a feeling that this was the song that you might like most on this record. Fiona Apple, she's just in all her brilliant gloriousness is back, and she's got this record that we're going to, the whole thing is online now. Anne did the first listen for it. It's called The Idler Wheel Is Wiser Than the Driver of the Screw, and Whipping Cords Will Serve You More Than Ropes Will Ever Do.
What was the title?
That was good.
And I say I'm surprised to have her back.
What are you going to do with the tattoo that you did of that on your
Fiona
arm?
Fiona Forever?
On your tongue.
She, but you know, I'm surprised, but at the same time, when she did Extraordinary Machine back in 2005, I assumed it wasn't the last we were going to hear from her. Wow, what a return. Her music, it's not always an easy listen. I get that. And I know she's not for everybody, but she has such a truly, truly original voice. And I can't think of anyone who does quite what she does. She doesn't care about having a hit or even being terribly accessible. She just takes her music where her incredible imagination and wonderful heart takes her. So yeah, let's listen to Hot Knife from Fiona Apple. This is the last track on The Idler Wheel.
I'm a hot knife, I'm a hot knife.
that's about as busy as this record ever gets, too. There's a tremendous amount of restraint in this record, and I think with Fiona's songs, they have enough tension in them to justify getting really big, getting really epic. And I love how she holds back. You know, it reminds me of that expression about real power is when you have it, but you're not using it, and everyone knows you have it, but you're not using it.
Restraint.
Restraint. Yeah. It's nice.
Well, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to do something that is so brash and out there that I'm surprised how much I love this song. And in fact, it's called I Love It. It's by Iconopop.
Det som är hemskt som har hänt nu, när man går förbi någon som man tycker är riktigt snygg, då har vi börjat säga, oh shit, checkar.
Are you Bob Boylan?
Yeah, I would never have guessed.
Robin, you're from the 70s, but he's a 90s.
You know, all I can say is, if this song didn't make me laugh out loud right from the gut, you know, it just, I hear the words of the song and it just makes me laugh. And
so
makes
you're,
me
smile. So you're hooked by the words more than the sound.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
the sound is so great, though.
I know. I'm reacting to the sound. But
The words were something else, if the words were, you know, just about how I want you, baby, then I wouldn't be there.
What's wrong with wanting someone?
There's nothing wrong with wanting someone, but we've heard those words over and over again. But the way the way she takes the two of them, it's a duo, they're both from Sweden, the way they take this notion of, like, I'm really just sick of you, and I don't, it's just perfect.
I love it. Yeah, I just expect. I would not have expected you to love this.
And it's got the 4th floor bass, which drives me crazy usually, too. But everything else, it's the words that totally turned me around. It all worked because of that, because of those words.
That is a genuine curveball from you, Bob Boylan.
I fear he's becoming a poptimist. What are we going to do?
That'll always be the dream.
It was very cathartic for you, that song. But I've come to find out that it just made you laugh.
Laughing is catharsis.
Yes.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
It made me feel great.
We're all happy for you, Bob.
Yeah. Good pick.
Okay.
Iconopop.
So that's my surprise. Let's move on to favorite albums. Stephen Thompson, you've picked one that we all had lots of joy in a live concert recently.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, if we're talking about surprises of the year, just how many of the albums I gravitated to are really joyful. You know, given what a sad bastard I am, it's kind of nice to pick so much fun stuff. But this album is about a lot more than just fun. There's hedonism kind of wired through it, but also a lot of sort of grappling with issues surrounding mortality. The album is called Sweetheart, Sweet Light by Spiritualized. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about artists who've been around for 20 plus years and Jay Spaceman, Jason Pierce. Is one of those guys. I mean, he's been around. You know, Spaceman 3 was, you know, from the late 80s, and kind of on and off made incredibly, unbelievably vital music. And this record is just so blissed out and beautiful. He recorded it while he was undergoing chemotherapy for liver disease, but the whole record really captures kind of his fascination with ecstasy and collapse and how they're kind of intertwined. I really love it. And the song we're going to play is part of a 9-minute.
I know we're gonna play the whole thing.
I would love that. part of a nine-minute. Yeah, part of a 9-minute kind of classic rock song called "Hey Jane."
Jane, where you going today? You took a car, then you ran all day. That clock going 110. I never said I'd get you back again. So you ain't got time to make no mistakes. Ain't got time to waste my brakes. Hey Jane, where you going today? You lit a fire, then you found the flame. They say you got a troubled soul. Show 'em what you can do. Hey Jane, where you going today? You got a love for you anyway. I guess I'm tired of hanging around. I'll meet you there when you're coming down. When you got good style and a little taste, carve your name right into my face. Hey Jane, where you going today? You broke my heart, then you ran away. Some say you got a rotten soul, but I said Jane loves rock and roll. Said you ain't got time, a long time.
If you don't mind, Stephen, because I love this song, and we can't hear all 9 minutes, but we'll put it on the website. I'm just going to scoot ahead because there's so much fun stuff that happens in the song.
Yeah, the song just moves through all these phases. And
yeah.
Let's see, random.
Let's drop it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a live concert of Spiritualized Online, and oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was a 2-hour and 15-minute marathon.
And it's just the word bliss I come back to again and again.
I always think of him as writing gospel music in a sense, you know, like his own version of gospel music.
Well, the pursuit of salvation is incredibly, is a huge part of what he does.
And Sweetheart, Sweet Light. Mm. Great title. You did right, Steve.
Oh, you know what? I'm pretty smart.
Nice pick. And hey, I just want to tell people to watch the video for that too. It's incredible. It's by a guy named A.G. Rojas. He also did the video
for... dark, wasn't it? If I
remember it's very dark. It's just the kind of a very intense day in the life of a transgender parent. It's really intense. And he did the video for one of Robin's favorite songs of the year that I don't think we're playing today, 16 Saltines by Mr. Jack White.
That was a hard one to leave off.
It was.
Turns out there's actually more really good music this year than even we are getting to.
It's been a great year so far.
I love you guys.
Let's not push
it, Stephen. So I'm going to bring us down and play my favorite record, Exit Music's record, Passage. I was also thinking of picking them for my favorite new artist, but they did have an EP last year. Exit Music, you know, Stephen was saying one of his picks is maybe not the best, but it is his favorite. And I'd say that of this Exit Music record, it's probably not the best record, but it's been my favorite this year. Not breaking any new ground, but they've got this dark, glossy, beautiful vibe that a lot of bands have captured over the years, and they execute it so perfectly. I've definitely gotten lost in this record more than any other this year. And Bob and I, we did this listening party earlier this week, and Bob, you asked the audience, how many of you put on a record and just turn the lights off and just listen to the record start to finish completely undistracted? And this is the only record I've done that with so far this year, where I could just listen in the dark all the way through and get lost in it.
I might add that most of the people who raised their hand about listening undistracted when I said, were you driving? Most of those people raised their hands. So the idea of what distracted and not distracted is these days is
or
really
shopping
different.
And I'm listening to it, yeah, on my headphones. Right,
exactly.
Or making lentils.
Yes.
That's why they always burn.
So let's imagine making lentils to this cut. It's called The City from Exit Music's album Passage.
The sky.
this is such a bleak record. There really is not a bright moment on the entire record.
When we saw that, when we saw them live, the lights in that club were particularly dark. They were even darker. You could not see anything on the stage. You couldn't see their faces. You couldn't see anything. But
saw them more times than anyone. I saw them three times at South By. Wow. Great live. You know, I've been hearing so much music that is just so celebratory this year, which is wonderful.
And I hate it.
And screw that.
And I am so done with that. No celebrating life. So this record really stands out, and you know, it's a little dark shadow in all the sunshine.
Robert, I wonder if this makes sense to you. It kind of reminds me of early Tricky. Does that make sense?
Oh.
Like
the darkness,
the dystopian quality.
Without the trip-hop beats, maybe.
Yeah, and a little Bjork thrown in, maybe.
Oh, I can hear that. I hadn't thought Bjork, but I can hear that a little bit, too.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah, it gets big. It really gets big. Anyway, Exit Music, Passage, my favorite record so far this year.
Nice.
I'm going to play my favorite record so far this year, Regina Spektor. It's the one I probably listen to more than any other, except maybe Lost in the Trees. I think, again, it's lyrics for me, for her. And we did a performance of her at Le Poison Rouge the other night. I was so struck by her storytelling. I think this is true. I think that the people who come to English later in life, she was born in Russia and came to New York later in life, learned a lot of her.
Well, she was nine, but
okay, later in life.
But by that time,
I didn't mean to imply that she was 30 or 40.
This conversation is all about me challenging Bob about age.
That's right. And there is a directness that I hear in that goes for the ladies from Stockholm, the Swedish icon of pop earlier. But there's a directness that happens, and a poeticism that happens in people who learn English later, where they just use words in a different way. She's about to tell a story in the song I'm going to play, Regina Spektor is. It's called Small Town Moon. It's about, in order to become the person you are to become, you have to leave what made you that person behind. And it's quite a sentiment, and it's quite a song. We'll play a bunch of it. It's from her album, What We Saw from the Cheap Seats, Regina Spektor.
I left a thousand times, but every day begins the same. 'Cause there's a small town in my mind. How can I leave without hurting everyone that made me? How can I leave without hurting everyone that made me? Oh, baby, baby, it's all about the moon. I wish you wouldn't have broke my camera. 'Cause we're gonna get real old real soon. Today we're younger than we ever gonna be. Today we're younger.
Very creepy, Bob.
But, you know, my favorite line from that song is when she says, "Today we're younger than we're ever going to be." Yeah. As someone on the other side of 40, I actually cling to that sentiment every day.
There's a strange sort of tone of encouragement and optimism that runs through a lot of her music, even when she seems to be playing an incredibly sad song. There's a song on this record called Firewood that's just all about basically, like, look, suck it up.
And Regina Spektor record is produced by Mike Elizondo, who worked with Fiona on the last record, with the one that John Bryan did, and he was another of the producers on it. great producer, great little guitar, buzzy sounds here and there, but not too much, just that restraint.
I love the sound of this record. It actually, it's different than this record I'm going to mention, but somehow spiritually connects to me to the Fun record. They're both kind of theatrical and whimsical, yet have a depth to them.
That's cool. That's an interesting comparison. I agree with you.
I wouldn't have gone there, but you're right. Your favorite
album?
You're
so smart, Anne.
Oh. Thank you.
Wait till you hear our next pick.
Wait till you hear what I like for the best of the year. So
your favorite album this year?
This is an album that I didn't expect it to be my favorite. I had hopes. The theme of the year to me seems to be, will my hopes be fulfilled? I'm just hanging out there waiting, wishing on a star, you know, like Jiminy Cricket. And I was wishing on a star that the new Bobby Womack record, comeback record for the soul great, produced by Richard Russell of XL Recordings and Damon Albarn of everything in England.
Of all the music
that's cool in England. The record's called The Bravest Man in the Universe. Bobby Womack, 68-year-old rock and roll Hall of Famer, legendary soul man, has definitely had his ups and downs. Richard Russell and Damon Albarn worked with him to create a totally new sound. It is not anything near retro. It is futuristic. To me, when I first heard it, I thought, wow, it's like that Moby record. Remember the Moby record he did with all those field recording samples? It's like that, but with like an actual living person who's talking back to the producers, and totally blood is flowing through this record, Bobby Womack's blood. And I love that combination of futuristic beats and production and this seasoned, amazing voice of Bobby Womack. So we're going to hear a beautiful, very sad song called Please Forgive My Heart.
I could try to say I'm sorry, but that won't be quite enough to let you know pain that I feel, and it just won't let up. Oh, it feels like the sky is falling and the clouds are closing in.
I think this is maybe the best R&B record of the 21st century, maybe. I'd honestly go that far.
That's going on the sticker.
No, it is. It is so surprising, having heard Bobby Womack records for a long, long time. I wonder what he thought about what was going on and how much of a part of it all he was. This is so interesting.
What's interesting is that Jacob Gans, our colleague, did an interview with Richard Russell, the producer. Russell, of course, also made Gil Scott-Heron's last record with that great poet and artist. So he'd worked with elder African-American artists before. What Jacob found out from Richard Russell is that Bobby Womack, Damon Albarn, and Russell really made this record as a trio together in the studio, with Womack on guitar and vocals and Albarn on keys and Russell just doing the production and playing around with synthesizers and samples and stuff and loops. And so it really is a collaborative effort. And I feel that's what makes all the difference, that you can hear all three of these guys fully joined in this project. Oh, and Lana Del Rey. She guests, by the way. The best thing she's ever done, in my personal opinion.
Great record. Bobby Womack's record is called
Bravest Man in the Universe.
Right. Let's move on to favorite songs. But before we do, let's just reiterate, we'll have a poll going up on the All Songs Considered blog.
You'll be able to pick, we'll maybe have 100, 150 albums on there. You can pick 10 of them. You can write some in if you don't see your favorites already on that list, and then we're going to figure out what the top, let's say, 25 are most popular. So that poll goes up on Tuesday the 12th, and we'll show the results a week later on the 19th.
Excellent. Move on to favorite songs. And I'm going to go to you, because I think...
because you love this song so much, Bob.
I really love Carly Rae Jepsen.
I've been practicing.
I had a few songs that I thought about for this category. The Satisfaction song Queens was one, a wonderful hip-hop song. Thought about Usher's Amazing Climax, which is another great R&B. His album is also great, but ultimately, it just came down to one. That's all there is to it. I mean, there's only really one song that's dominated my life, frankly, for several months. And hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. But Carly Rae Jepsen is the jam. Call Me Maybe.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing.
It's an appropriate end, I think.
You know, during that song, we were sitting here in the studio, and Bob and Robin took their headphones off and had a conversation.
That's so deeply wrong.
I actually had to take my hands and hold the headphones closer to my ears to drown them out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to rain on your cotton candy, but man.
That song is 3 wow. minutes and 13 seconds oh. long, and I've actually I've come to gauge the length of my commutes by what I call Jepsen units, which are 3 minute and 13
so
second
sorry.
Blocks of perfection. This song is awesome. You are so right, Anne.
Thank you. And Bob and Rabbi may not agree with me, but the world agrees with me and Stephen. This That's thing right. has gone so viral. There's so many hilarious videos people have made acting out this song. Everyone from the Harvard baseball team to, I believe, President Obama himself
yes.
is into Call Me Maybe. So say what you will.
Okay.
The world loves it.
I think that this, one of the problems I have with this song may be similar to a problem that I have with just about all pop music produced in the 80s. And
you hate is, pleasure?
Yeah, right. I hate joy.
You're a no, is opponent of joy.
The way the song is produced makes it impossible for me to reach whatever the song is trying to say or
really?
Do.
Well, and first of all, the song is not trying to say very much.
Well, it's, I'm assuming what? That...
I was going to say that, but that would have been a point against
second
it.
Second of all, the production is part of what is perfect about the song. Those fakey little strings
it
are
sounds
so
to me,
fantastic.
Honestly, it sounds to me like it was made by machines for a car commercial.
Yeah, it really
is. I mean,
isn't
it's the production. And right. I think if I heard someone like playing an acoustic version of this and I'd never heard it before, I think I'd say, wow, this is a really lovely little song. But
and you can, because she's done it.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Her voice is so processed, way over-processed. And it's just the sound is so compressed and digitized. It just makes it feel very sterile.
It also gets to the point of what we look for in music and what we want in music. And for me, for sure, this is the stuff I run away from and have been running away from since 1960s, where it's a very tightly knit, structured song that is made to make me feel
perfectly packed.
a certain way.
Sort of, and it's sort of weaponized entertainment. It's very, yes. very, very
well,
focused
that's what,
on
Well, that's
your...
why I say it's like an ad. And it well, it is. It's this compressed form of...
Well, you guys are... I mean, really, it's a wonder that I'm even sitting here instead of lining up to buy whatever car this song is trying to
Don't
sell.
Worry, Stephen. But... By the end of the summer, there'll be the car ad with this sound-alike song.
I hate to point this out, but this conversation started with you guys talking about how many ads Kishibashi's song
That's
would
right.
be used in. So
That's
you're
right.
being slightly contradictory.
You've got,
I must
you got
say.
A good point.
I would buy both of those cars.
I didn't say that about Kishibashi myself, actually. Right. Stephen did, but okay. I'm using the same insult that he used against Kishibashi.
Now, That's not a, wait, I was not trying to insult Kishibashi
no,
at
I know,
all.
I know,
love that song.
I know, and I'm actually, despite what I said about it, I mean, I know that's a low blow saying it sounds like machines made it. I'm actually trying to see and hear what is great about the song and recognizing that it may actually be a great song. I just can't get past all the glossy
sure.
production that it has. And it's hard for me to hear it.
I don't think great is the term here that we're talking about our favorites. And yeah. the fact is that that's a song that every time I hear it, I smile, I laugh, I clench my fists in that point where she's going, you know, boy, before you came into my life, I missed you so bad, which is such a perfect,
it's
like,
a great
teenage
line.
It is a line.
Great
line yeah.
And like I said, I loved watching this song unfold in the world as
yes.
well. And so many people who do love it, and maybe they do love a product, but it's a product that speaks to them and, mm-hmm. and has
Again,
an emotional resonance.
It's also
them.
The sound of jazz hands, this and, song.
And it is, again, what is it that you want out of music? And sometimes that chewy pop is really makes you feel good.
Yes.
And everybody's different, though, and that's why we make favorites.
Well, it's the same reason. I mean, but what I love about this song is a lot of what I love about Kelly Clarkson and a lot of what I love about JoJo
right,
and a lot of what I love
exactly
about
what
Rihanna.
I run away from. Right.
And, you know, that whole wing of music it has a lot of joy in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the next tune, Patrick Watson. Very different. It's, you know, again, this speaks to what we want in music. And not to say that you singularly want, you know,
I don't want to say I only want.
That's right. I don't only.
Yeah.
But it's what you get are the sorts of things that you do want out of music. And I'm not saying it's the only thing you want out of music. But for me, Patrick Watson really hits the nail on the head of what I look for in music. And that is a song that has many parts, often many songs within songs, which is what's so beautiful about this record, Adventures in Your Own Backyard, his album. And Into Giants is a song we're going to play, something I talked about after South by Southwest, having seen him with... Were you all in the room
I
at
was
the
in
same
the room.
Time?
Yeah. Fantastic.
And were you weren't in
no,
the...
No, I wasn't, and, sadly. I do really love this record, though. See, I have that versatility thing where I can love all kinds of music.
And we all have our versatility things, and some veer one way and some veer lean a little heavily more
dig.
Than
no,
the
I think No, I think Ann's right. I think Ann's right.
A little... Just a little dig, right?
So here's Patrick Watson.
As opposed to all the digs you gave me when you were talking about the Carly Rae Jepsen song.
And this will bring us all together. And for songs, by the way, we're going to play entire songs. For all of those who were very happy, we played the entire song by Carly Rae Jepsen. It wasn't whether we liked it or not. We decided songs, we're going to play all of them. This is our favorite songs of the year. This is mine so far. It's only 6 months into the year. Patrick Watson.
Time was running fast. While we were walking so slow, well, I watched us grow and grow. Carried our love in cups to go.
I think I told you, Bob, when we saw him live do this song, I was just weeping. And it was such a beautiful moment. And I left thinking that he creates a world that I want to believe in, you know, a world where magic is real. And it's I don't know how else to describe it. It just was such a beautiful, beautiful life-affirming moment.
Yeah, it was really touching. They came out. We've described this before, but just quickly, in a beautiful church, acoustically in the middle, holding flashlights at one another. And that was beautiful enough. And then they slowly made their way back to the stage where they were full form, full band, electric and everything for that climactic part of the song. Robin Hilton, what is your favorite song of the year?
My favorite song is by an artist we've never had on the show before. Her name is Simone White. You know, we've been playing a lot of really, really big music on this show, which is great. But hers is not. It's really nice to hear, I think, in her music, maybe similar to the Fiona Apple song that we played, something that does just as much with a whole lot less. You know, she covers a lot of ground with very little movement in her songs. And she has such a captivating voice. And I've blathered a lot about how I don't really pay much attention to lyrics, at least during the first several listens.
But you lied all these years.
But this is a song that I connected to very profoundly because of the lyrics. It's about trying to save a severely broken friend. It's called Big Dreams and Headlines.
I'll find a happy song to sing. La-di-da. And it's dark, but I can see in the dark, and you're smiling. No, don't go yet, don't be upset. It's a sweet evening. And we'll go inside and light a fire, and have a laugh, and have a cry. Little things that add up to life. 10,000 moments of paradise. Lost between the big dreams and the headlines. I can't help you quit the blues. The lonely and the heartache and the bad, bad news. Oh, you still gotta pay the rent. And all those years and where they went. Friends, why'd you miss those lucky breaks and how everything's just a big mistake. Between the big dreams and the headlines. If you stay a while, I promise I'll find a happy song to sing. La-di-da. And it's dark, but I can see in the dark, and you're smiling. It's a sweet evening. And we'll go inside and light a fire and have a laugh and have a cry. It's the little things that add up to life. Oh,
It's the little things that add up to life. I love that line.
I love that song, and I love the way it does completely create a world. It's what you were talking about before, Bob. I am always talking about what songs remind me of, but there's this Jane Sibbery song, I think it's called The Visit, and it's all about the death of her mother, and you just enter into this journey, and it's really harrowing and difficult, yet totally sublime, and I feel like this gives me that. Yeah. Robin, thank you for sharing it.
I don't care where you've been, how you made your enemies and lost your friends. I just was listening and I thought, don't all of us have someone in our lives like this? And I was thinking, but in Stephen's case, he is
the
friend.
Right. No, I really heard a lot of myself in that song. No, you talked about exit music before being the kind of record you darken the room and get lost in. As different as this sounds, you know, it's very, very spare, and it's got kind of that quality of being whispered to in the dark. It's a beautiful song.
Thanks. Very Beatley progression in the guitar, too.
Yeah, and her voice just has so much weight. I mean, it's just a wisp of a voice, but very heavy.
Stephen Thompson, you get to take us out. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
What do you want to take us out on?
Well, you know...
That's it. Bye.
I was thinking about a callback to Carly Rae, but I'm not going to. You know, every year, sort of as we start to head into summer, you know, we around the office and all over the country, we talk about what is the song of the summer. And of course, in America, it is Carly Rae Jepsen's "Call Me Maybe," but in my heart, it's Carly Rae Jepsen's "Call Me Maybe."
But in your mind,
but it is also, a song called "The Only Place" by a duo called Best Coast, who are led by a woman named Beth Cosentino. The first record was very primitive, very sweet. This record is much kind of slicker and shinier. It's produced by John Bryan, who gives it all this very sunny sparkle. And this particular song is I'm a sucker for songs about loving a place. Kind of sentimental songs about loving a place. And this song is just a top-down, gorgeous, gorgeous pop song about her love of California. And I just love it. Anyway, the band is called Best Coast. Album is called The Only Place. The song is called The Only Place. It is wonderful.
Terrific. Don't forget to vote for your favorite music of 2012 so far. And we'll put results up on the All Songs Considered blog by the 19th of June. Thanks, everybody.
Enjoyed a lot of great music on this.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from you guys. Thank you so much.
You too.
Good. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. And we're not going to play Stephen's pick.
No.
Got the baby.